The right to freedom of speech is a topic being discussed widely in the aftermath of the violence in France. In Turkey, it's a debate being conducted amid some anxiety. Six broadcasters there have just been fined for breaching regulations by reading out on air some of the testimony given to a commission by four former government ministers who'd been accused of bribery and corruption. They were told this week they would not, after all, have to stand trial. It was, as far as some sections of the media were concerned, a black day for democracy. But supporters of President Erdogan insist the allegations, which have been swirling around his government for the past couple of years, have been entirely manufactured by his enemies. And Mark Lowen says a campaign to silence them shows no sign of ending soon.
Arrests these days can be very public affairs. At times, they are still shielded from view, reported only hours later. But often now, they are tweeted in real time, shared with millions worldwide as the police swoop. So it was with Frederica Gerdink last week, a Dutch journalist living in southeast Turkey. "Terrorism police just searched my house. 8 guys," she wrote on Twitter. "They're taking me to the station now. Charge propaganda for a terrorist organisation." She was questioned about her own tweets, which were said by the authorities to support the Kurdish militant group, the PKK. She was later released, but the incident shook us foreign journalists operating in a country where freedom of speech is on the decline. Perhaps it is that anarchic element of Twitter, that challenge to managed information, that Turkey's government so dislikes. It tried to block Twitter almost a year ago after the site carried tapped phone calls alleging massive corruption among the ruling elite. The government hit back, claiming the leaks were illegally obtained, full of lies, and driven by a parallel state of bureaucrats and journalists. Thousands of police and judges were sacked. Then, last month, came stage two, arresting opposition media. As editors, scriptwriters, even TV directors were detained by police, tweeted live, naturally, one side of Turkey rose up. "I dream of a country where anybody is free to say and think what they like," Emre, a retired teacher, told me at an opposition rally. "But that country is not Turkey." Cries from abroad grew louder. Turkey's raids on the press were against European standards and values, said Brussels. "The EU should mind its own business," snapped the president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. A war of words began between the club this country is negotiating to join and the Ankara government, which sees plots on all sides, and a conspiracy to destabilise this rising power. Even before this government, journalists who stepped out of line were regularly imprisoned. Whether for supporting Kurds or Armenians or challenging authority through investigation, writers, reporters and intellectuals have long been targeted. Until last year, Turkey had the most journalists in jail of anywhere in the world, though it's now been eclipsed by other shining examples like Eritrea and Vietnam. This is a deeply nationalist country. It faces plenty of security challenges, and all too often it has clamped down on dissent. And yet, as the storm over the journalists' arrests here grew, the president held firm. "Nowhere is the press as free as in Turkey," he insisted, brushing aside the watchdog Reporters Without Borders, which rated Turkey 154th of 180 in the Media Freedom Index. He says it because he knows his supporters believe it. "Recently, I took refuge from the beating rain with two Erdogan loyalists in one of Istanbul's cosy cafes. The tea was piping hot, the baklava fresh. Businessman Ibrahim Yildirim told me Erdogan was his hero. 'The economy is booming,' he said. 'The country in which my children will grow up will be bigger, stronger and richer.' For student Zeynep Ilham, who wears the Muslim headscarf, it's the president's emphasis on his Islamic identity that counts. He's encouraged young girls to don the scarf in a country where for decades the pious felt ostracized by a secular elite." That is the key to Erdogan's success. From abroad, Turkey is sometimes seen through the prism of Istanbul, a cosmopolitan, often European-feeling metropolis where designer stores sit across the Bosphorus from the Blue Mosque. But that is only one side. Turkey's identity is far more complex. Much of it is profoundly conservative, its people enamoured of a leader who finally gave them a political voice. "All our politicians are corrupt," I often hear from Turks. "But at least this one built us new hospitals and schools, and he allows us to be proud Muslims." It poses a huge challenge for Europe, how to deal with a neighbour that is as single-minded as it is important. The West desperately needs a democratic Turkey, but there's a nagging feeling that this country went halfway down that road but is now veering off it. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was elected president with 52% of the votes. He splits Turkey down the middle. But for him, this slender majority is enough. Democracy is like a tram, he once said. You ride it until you reach your destination, then you get off. For Turkey's other half, his critics, the raids and clampdown on expression are further proof that the president bid farewell to the tram long ago.